Good morning. Glad to welcome you to our worship service today, and glad especially to welcome visitors and guests whom we have with us. We have quite a number, which I'll get to in a little bit as to why they're here. But anyway, we are glad you're here and hope you'll come back and join us again. Let me mention a couple of announcements to you. First, Leisure Timers, remember you have a trip to Shealy's tomorrow, as that is something you could forget. But do remember that. I understand that some people are driving, so there are still 3 places on the bus. So if you are interested in going, see Kathy, and that she'll help you out with that. Choral Scholars Dinner. Jim, you wanted to say something? Or I guess you're going to say something. So the way I read this, the show's going to happen on the 10th, but you're not showing up till the 11th, right?
It doesn't work that way.
Sarah. Hey, Sarah.
Yeah.
I don't really have a question.
Yes, okay.
Hey, Sarah. Yeah. I was going to ask you what the twist was, but you explained that. Thank you. All right, today is an exciting and special day in the life of our church as we celebrate the baptisms of 2 children who have been born, and it's kind of unique this time because the 2 children are cousins with each other. So that's kind of a unique thing for our church to do. And so today we have Jordan Ann Knight, who is the daughter of Todd and Emily Knight, and Charlotte Blake Audette, who is the daughter of Jason and Kayla. I know you. Yeah. I don't have that part written down. I'm doing that. Yeah.
To come forward with their children.
desire to have your children baptized into Christ. As you bring your children to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with them among God's faithful people, bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, place in their hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture them in faith and prayer, so that your children may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others in the world God made, and work for justice and peace. You promise to help your children grow in the Christian faith and life.
Thank you.
People of God, you promise to support Jordan Ann and Charlotte Blake and pray for them in their new life in Christ.
Thank you.
I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. You renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God. You renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God. You renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God. You believe in God the Father. Sustain Jordan Ann with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever.
Amen.
Sustain Charlotte Blaine with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We welcome you to the body of Christ.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Kariah just asked the most important question. She said, what do we have today? You didn't see me bring anything, did you?
No.
And you're wondering what it is. I'm going to show you. Actually, you brought it. You didn't brought nothing, you said. No, you brought your hand. So you brought your hand. That's what I want to show you. And in particular, I want to show you this finger. Because I have a problem with this finger. My problem is I have two dogs. You know what a dog is. I have one of my dogs' name is Chance, and the other one is...
They bite your finger.
No, they don't bite my finger. The other one is Angel. But there are some times where I might have a ball, and I'll throw it in the yard so they can go chase the ball. And they'll go get it and bring it back, but here's the problem. Sometimes they're so excited to see me, they're not paying attention that I threw the ball out there, and so they don't see me throw it, and they're just looking at me instead of looking at the ball. So I take my finger, and I'll say, Chance, Angel, go get the ball. And you know what they do? They come up and sniff my finger. That's what they do. Have you ever tried to get a dog to look at something? They don't look where you're pointing, do they? They look at your finger. That's not right. I'm like, you dumb dog, they're over there. That's what I'm pointing at. And they keep smelling my finger. That's all I ever get. They smell my finger, yeah. They come up and they think I got a treat or something on my finger, you know. And I stick it out and they want, but there's no treat there. They're supposed to look at that.
How about you put it higher?
If I put it higher, then they just look at it. Yeah. What's that strange man doing? Is what they say. That's what I have to do. Then I have to go out and get the ball. And so really, they're throwing the ball for me. You know, is what happens. But anyway, I wanted to talk about that finger because today in our gospel lesson, we have a guy who uses his finger to point at something really important. Okay, there's one of Jesus' new disciples, a guy named Philip, goes and finds another guy named Nathanael. And he says, I have found the Messiah. I have found the one that God has sent to save us all. He's that guy over there. Now, and Nathanael, what he did was he went and sniffed Philip's finger, don't you think?
No.
No, he looked at what Philip was pointing at, the guy Philip was pointing at. And then they went over and they met Jesus. And that's, no, Nathanael did. Now that's what's pretty important. What we're supposed to do in our lives is to point to Jesus. We don't have to know everything about Jesus. We don't have to know everything in the Bible. It's our job. It is important, but it is our job just to invite people and say, hey, come look at that thing I found over there. Come look at Jesus. He's right over there. Come over here with me and look. And so we use our fingers to point at Jesus. We use our whole lives to point at Jesus. Our words, everything is to point to Jesus and invite other people to come. So that's what I wanted you to think about. When you see people point, don't think about sniffing their finger, but think about how you're supposed to look at what they're pointing to and remember that we're supposed to point to Jesus in everything. All right, can we pray? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for loving us and coming to save us. Help us in all things to invite other people to come and meet you. Amen. All right.
That was short.
Well, I'm sorry. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here am I," and ran to Eli and said, "Here am I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called." But he said, "I did not call you, son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." Then Eli perceived the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli and all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until the morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here am I." Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more so if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
from 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both and the other. The body is meant for not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do not you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are now not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
True story. A number of years ago, so long, in fact, that Maynell was still here in the office, it was time for one of my Thursday Bible studies. At the time, we had a woman coming to the study who really loved being there and didn't want to miss even one session. But you know how life sometimes creeps in, and the time came when she had a conflict and didn't know what to do. She talked to me about it and asked if we could record the Bible study so she could listen to it later. Well, I told her that, yes, we could do that. And she went away happy. And then I started to think about how I was going to do that. And suddenly I hit on a brainstorm. I would just wear my Sunday wireless microphone, our sanctuary PA system, would pick it up, and I could set up the recording through the system. It wouldn't distract the class with buttons to push or anything, and we'd get a good recording. Problem solved. The Thursday came, I set it all up, we started the class, I turned the microphone on, and it went well until the class was over and everyone was gone. I walked into Maynell's office to check on things with her, and she gave me the funniest look. And I said, "What?" She said, I stepped out of the office to go to the kitchen, and suddenly I heard this voice coming from the sanctuary. And it startled me for a minute. I thought God was speaking. I guess I should have told her what I was doing, huh? How do we hear the voice of God? It's easy to understand Maynell's consternation. We somewhat expect to hear from God in church, but not usually that way. Samuel did. It's a fascinating story in our Old Testament reading. Samuel was just a boy serving in the temple when God called to him. Thinking it was the priest, a man named Eli, who had called, Samuel ran to him. After several times of this, Eli realized that it was God's voice that Samuel was hearing. So he sent the boy back for one more encounter, and sure enough, God called Samuel again. And this time Samuel answered, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What an amazing thing to say. You know, so often in our communication with God, we are the ones who do the talking. We turn our attention to God, come out with some list of the things we want God to do for us, and then it's off to something else. But prayer is so much more. What if your child talked to you the way we often talk to God? What if your child showed up at breakfast, spooned his Lucky Charms, and the only thing you heard from him was a list of all the things he wanted you to fix to suit him? There's no dialogue, no real communication. Well, it's much the same in prayer. When we pray, it's our opportunity to draw close to God, to spend time with God, to feel God near. I think that's what our psalmist was talking about today. God, you have searched me and known me, he describes, reveling in the joy of an intimate, sharing relationship with the Almighty God. When we pray, yes, God wants to hear the concerns on our hearts. But God wants us to hear the concerns on his heart too. So our prayers shouldn't be about always speaking. Sometimes the best prayers are a time of emptying oneself and then listening for what God has to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If you watch much football, I bet you've seen this. The ball will be thrown to a wide open receiver who, for no apparent reason, fails to make the catch. And the announcers, whenever that happens, always say exactly the same thing. He was trying to run before he caught the ball. You've heard that, haven't you? Well, in other words, he took his eye off the ball and turned to run before he had secured the catch. Perhaps we often do much the same thing, ready to run off busily, going on about our lives before we've secured what we need to listen to, before we've had a chance to really be with God, to find and hear God in our lives. The problem is, of course, that there are so many voices in our lives clamoring for attention. And that's why we've got to be intentional about our listening. That's why we've got to listen with our hearts. And maybe you've never noticed this, but right in the middle of the word heart, you find the word ear. We listen for God. We listen with our hearts.
Open your heart ears. With Samuel, may we say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church. those in need, and all of God's creation. Lamb of God, we know that you are indeed the one who takes away the sin of the world. Fill our hearts now with the desire to seek you. Fill our hearts now with the willingness to follow you. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, as we celebrate these baptisms today, renew in us the commitment to walk in the light of our baptisms always. Lord, in your mercy. Great light in our darkness, shine in and through us. Through your Holy Spirit, ignite our faith and lead us in lives that radiate your love for others. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, you share our lives in all things. Increase our joy. Reach into our illnesses, fears, and worries with your compassion and love. Bless all your people, O Lord, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, who reaches to us, fill us with enthusiasm and zeal in our faith, that we may invite others to come and meet you and to share the joy that comes in your love. Lord, in your mercy, God, with us, be with our nation and give our leaders your wisdom and the desire to follow your way. Lord, in your mercy. O God of our hearts, lead us in prayer that we may feel you near to us. Open our hearts to hear you speaking. Open our lives to live your way. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
us pray. Merciful God, receive the gifts we bring, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Through this meal, unite us as your body, shining with the light of your justice and mercy. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Which was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, we bless you that you have brought us to this mountaintop and fed us with the life and light of your Son. Send us in his name from this place to bring light into dark corners, healing where lives are torn, and nourishment to every hungry heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord.